In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So who here has heard the term stranger danger? It floats around, doesn't it? What do we mean by stranger danger? Anybody? Yes?
If you talk to somebody and you don't know them, you could be putting yourself in danger of, what they don't know about them.
Yeah. Yeah, so we use the term stranger danger to teach our children to beware of people they don't know who might try to speak to them. Now, usually it's not about teaching children to beware of people that they need to approach for some reason, right? It's about those who would approach them. That's an important concept to teach children, but it is a subtle distinction for a child to understand. But we try to do that so that stranger danger doesn't become just kind of a blanket excuse for prejudice. What I've noticed in my life, and what I've seen verified in the studies of security researchers, is that the vast majority of strangers are people of goodwill. Right? They're more or less like me. They want good for themselves. They want good for others. They want to think well of themselves. And so if it doesn't put them out too much, then they're kind of eager to do a good turn for someone else. And so when I am walking through a strange part of town, it's the person who walks up to me demanding to know what I'm looking for or what I want that sets off my stranger danger alarm. And yet, when I ask a stranger for assistance, when I get to choose who I'm going to ask and what exactly it is I'm going to ask of them, in other words, I get to set up, to construct and maintain what I consider to be safe boundaries, then I invariably find that the other person will strive to be genuinely helpful to me. So it's not necessarily the stranger who is the danger. It is instead that person who willfully crosses those boundaries that I have placed in order to keep a sense of personal safety. So, hear what is going on in our gospel reading today. After Jesus had been born at Bethlehem in Judea, during the reign of King Herod, suddenly, some wise men came to Jerusalem from the east, asking, "Where is the infant king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose and have come to do him homage." So all of a sudden, these strangers show up in town. They didn't belong here. Jerusalem was a small town. If you go to the old city of Jerusalem today, it's still small. Everyone would have known that these guys are not from here. Our reading describes them as wise men from the east. Some translations put it those who studied the stars, or even a band of scholars. They were most likely people from Persia, what today we call Iran. And they were thought to worship the stars. And so it's from the Greek word magi that we get our ideas about magic. So these strangers, these magi, walk suddenly into our Bibles at a most unexpected place. Can you imagine the young Mary, herself practically still a child, a girl sheltered from the world, faced with these exotic strangers who came to offer gifts to her baby? Stranger danger indeed. But the Magi weren't the strangers in this picture. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. God was the stranger. God was wholly other and different and alien from us. God was unknown. And when God thought about how to enter the world, God could have come up to us and said, "Hey, what do you want? What are you looking for? Right? God could have interjected God's self into our world with power and sternness, like a conquering Persian king ready to take over the world. But that's not what God did, is it? Instead, God chose to be born as a baby. God chose to be little, to be vulnerable. God came into our realm of understanding as a baby boy, asking us for assistance. God came to the world asking us to feed him, to bathe him, to change his diapers. Jesus allowed the young Mary, herself barely of marriageable age, to make the mistakes that every parent makes in raising children. Jesus allowed the neighborhood kids to tease him, and the local rabbis to reprimand him when they hadn't gotten their cup of coffee and they were feeling grumpy in the morning. Jesus even allowed the Roman soldiers to crucify him. Because God did not enter this world in order to get something from us, or to take advantage of us, or even to demand something of us. Instead, God became vulnerable and needy, like us, so that we could learn about God's love firsthand through Jesus. And so what the incarnation teaches us, God becoming flesh, it teaches us that God is not a stranger after all. God chooses not to be other. God pulled down that barrier between the human and the divine, between them and between us. And so Christianity is not about separating us from them, and it's not about keeping them out. It's not about maintaining some kind of impossible purity and separating ourselves from the world. Christianity is not about exclusivism and a fear of contamination. In fact, it's the opposite. Christianity is meant to be for us a strong foundation, a place where we can stand secure. A foundation that's so strong that we are then able to open wide our arms to embrace others, trusting that God will draw others to reform where reform is needed, and that God will use those differences in others to help break through the stuck parts in ourselves, thereby calling us to reform where reform is needed. Christianity is about having a base that is so strong and so trustworthy that we can follow Jesus' example, making ourselves vulnerable by asking others for help and building bridges of connection through that vulnerability. Christianity is not about building walls. Instead, it's about building ramps and elevators to let others in. At the Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate the appearance of God to all people, even to strangers from far away who practice some other unknown religion and listen to stars. God is at work in those people. And because God holds us safe in God's hands, we can afford to listen and to hear what God is doing in others, and maybe even to learn about what God wants to do in us. You don't need to change the world for God. Your call is to be open to God's sudden, subtle, changing work inside you. That is the project that we are working on as a community, as a church. That is our goal in our worship, in our prayer, in our service together. And as we open ourselves to God's transformative power, as we allow God to break us where we feel stuck and heal us where we are broken. Others will experience that change in us. And then they too will be drawn in to allow God's gentle work to continue in them as well. May the Epiphany, God's self-revelation to the world, be born anew in you this season. Amen.
Amen.